November 1st, 2023. I never wanted to hurt anyone. It was my neighbor's black dog who told me what to do. He is a demon wrapped in fur and skin. His metallic, ringing voice would incessantly scream through my brain every time I tried to fight back. I told him I didn't want to kill anymore, but he says that he and the other damned spirits need fresh blood to live. He says his name is Friend, and that he only wants what's best for me. I don't know what kind of dog my neighbor found, but I think it may have come straight from hell itself. I'll update this diary soon once I figure out what to do. November 10th, 2023. I saw the sacrifices in the news tonight. A young man and a young woman. They were young and healthy, beautiful and strong. They had their whole lives ahead of them. I never wanted to do it again, but Friend said we must. I'd gone hunting as soon as the sun set, traveling through the dark, winding streets of the suburbs. On the rolling hills, I found them, the first of the new sacrifices. They were parked in a red sedan on a well-known lover's lane in the area, a spot where the view of the city's old white lights shone like the stars. I had taped a flashlight to the end of my rifle. They seemed to think I was a police officer when I first sent the bright glare of the flashlight streaming through the driver's side window. The driver began to roll down the window, his face a mask of confusion as he stared into the white light shining into his eyes. He opened his mouth, his face looking as pale as a corpse. "Officer, what is..." he started to say when the voice of Friend screamed through my head like shattering glass.
"Take them now,"
Friend gurgled in his flat, dead voice.
"We must feed the spirits of the dead with their blood. Do it now, now, now."
The voice rose like the wailing of a tornado. I couldn't breathe or think. My vision turned white as I pressed the trigger again and again. They screamed, but it sounded far off and faded under the ringing of the gunshots. The man's face exploded before me in a shower of bone splinters and ground meat. By the time I was done, it looked like nothing more than a crater of gore. The bullet smashed through the car with a shattering of glass. The smell of gun smoke and sweat hung thick in the air. The woman shrieked as one caught her in the throat, then her wailing was cut off. She choked on her own blood, her wide, frantic eyes searching my face, as if for a reason why. But there was no reason. Not one that I could tell. They were far from my first, and I doubted they would be the last. I followed the voice of Friend back home, leaving the dead with their frozen, terrified faces and the panicked animal sweat that clung to their still bodies. November 11th, 2023. I haven't been sleeping much. That dog keeps barking all day and night. His voice rings through my head like an eternal scream. In the barking, I hear the rhythms of something deep and demonic. It gurgles through the night and never leaves me alone. When was the last time I slept? Maybe 5 or 6 days ago? Everything seems blurry. I know what I need to do. At midnight, I heard the incessant barking of Friend, the whispering of dark secrets behind the veil. I grabbed my rifle and slung out into the night. I needed to end this, right here and now. The street looked as empty as a midnight graveyard, Mist swirled through the blackness and thick cold clouds that clung to my skin like raindrops. I couldn't see far as I left my dark and empty house. I peered over the fence separating my property from my neighbor's. The dog had stopped barking. He now just looked up at me, his eyes gleaming like cold starlight.
"What are you gonna do with that, Spencer?"
Friend asked, his sharp canine teeth glittering through the fog. I saw the dog's mouth moving, the black lips frozen in a wide, amused smile.
"Would you hurt your only friend? Would you kill him, Spencer?"
I trembled, feeling drops of sweat break out of my face. Goosebumps rose all over my body as I stared in those dead, empty eyes. Friend looked like a large black dog, reminding me of the Grimm from European myths. But anyone who had stared at him too long would realize that his teeth seemed far too sharp and numerous, and his eyes always glowed in the night, as if with their own inner radiance. "I have to do it," I whispered grimly, staring into the face of hell. The dog seemed to find this funny. His wide canine lips rose into a curving grin.
"Do what you have to do, and I'll do what I have to do,"
he hissed as I pulled the trigger. The dog's head exploded, spraying black fur and slabs of gore onto the side of my neighbor's house. I saw Friend's legs buckle as he stumbled and fell slowly to the ground, still staring up at me with his dead eyes. November 12th, 2023. That night, after I murdered Friend, I finally passed out from exhaustion for a couple of hours. The same reoccurring dream that had plagued me for months on end started as soon as I closed my eyes. I was walking through a dark city street with no one alone. Hundreds of mummified bodies hung from the streetlights, the nooses around their neck fraying with age. They swayed gently in the wind, men, women, and children alike, all victims of some terrible atrocity I couldn't imagine. The echoing of my own footsteps sounded deafening. The entire world felt dead and still. Empty skyscrapers loomed overhead on both sides of me, their giant bodies glistening with glass and steel. Up ahead, something black with long, twisting limbs walked in the middle of the street like some giant spider. Its skittering legs pushed its gleaming black body high into the air. The countless eyes on its insectile face gleamed with their own inner light, just like the eyes of Friend. "Who are you?" I asked, my voice ringing out like a gunshot in the empty silence. The spidery face split into a lipless grin, showing off its curving fangs dripping with venom.
"You know who I am," the thing hissed. "I am the true face of Friend. I am the one who will stay with you until the end. Together, we will feed the abyss. You are the only one saving this world from total destruction. You are a holy one, Spencer, a saint. For you give of yourself to protect all others, even of your innocence and your eternal soul. For if you did not offer sacrifices to the hungry spirits, they would split open the veil like a plague of locusts. You must keep killing. You must offer sacrifices, fresh blood, the bodies of the damned," Friend whispered. I felt freezing cold here in this empty city where the night sky looked like a blanket of shadows, where we existed without a moon or stars to light the way. I woke suddenly in my bed, the sky outside still black and lifeless, just like in my dream. From my neighbor's house, I heard the frantic barking of Friend.
November 13th, 2023. I looked up cases similar to mine on the internet, wondering if I was going insane. Immediately, the famous case of Son of Sam came up, the man who claimed his neighbor's dog had forced him to kill. I wondered if it had been Friend or something like Friend. I kept going over his case, looking for clues. I remember reading the letter David Berkowitz called the Son of Sam had sent to the police. His words had seemed bizarre the first time I read them, even insane, but now they had a cold, sickening logic. He had been forced to offer blood, just as I had. I knew that I, too, would ultimately be forced to kill again by the demon next door. I looked up his note to the police on the internet, reading it again and again as I searched for clues. This is what the original note said. I am deeply hurt by you calling me a woman hater. I am not, but I am a monster. I am the Son of Sam. I am a little brat. When Father Sam gets drunk, he gets mean. He beats his family. Sometimes he ties me up to the back of the house. Other times he locks me in the garage. Sam loves to drink blood. Go out and kill, commands Sam. Behind our house, some rest. Mostly young, raped and slaughtered, their blood drained, just bones now. Papa Sam keeps me locked in the attic, too. I can't get out, but I look out the attic window and watch the world go by. I feel like an outsider. I am on a different wavelength than everyone else, programmed to kill. However, to stop me, you must kill me. Attention, all police. Shoot me first. Shoot the kill, or else keep out of my way, or you will die. Papa Sam is old now. He needs some blood to preserve his youth. He has had many heart attacks. Me hoot hurts, sonny boy. I miss my pretty princess most of all. She's resting in our lady's house, but I'll see her soon. I am the monster, Beelzebub, the chubby behemoth. I love the hunt, prowling the streets looking for fair game. Tasty meat, the women of Queens are prettiest of all. I must be the water they drink. I live for the hunt, my life, blood for Papa. Mr. Borelli, sir, I don't want to kill anymore. No, sir, no more. But I must honor thy father. I want to make love to the world. I love people. I don't belong on earth. Return me to Yahoos, to the people of Queens. I love you and I want to wish you all a happy Easter. May God bless you in this life and in the next, for now I say goodbye and goodnight. Police, let me haunt you with these words. I'll be back. I'll be back. To be interpreted as bang, 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 bang. Yours in murder, Mr. Monster. November 14th, 2023. It's true. I saw it for myself. Friend is back. The gunshots didn't take. Perhaps he can't be killed. I just saw the dog alive and whole. He kept barking as the dying sun sent its rusty blood spinning across the sky. The night was coming, I knew. And this night would certainly be a long one. The time has come to act, but I'm absolutely terrified. I don't know what will happen to me. I will keep writing everything down until the end, however. I know what people will think of me. They'll say I was a liar, a monster, a madman, a murderer. And they may be right. But that doesn't mean I can't try to fight back. Once the darkness had grown thick and the mist had crept back in like searching fingers, I strapped my pistol onto my hidden holster and headed outside. The dog's incessant barking rang out in the silent world, harsh and dissonant. I covered my ears, repressing an urge to scream. I slung past my fence and towards my neighbor's house where a friend lived. I tried to hide from the dog as best as I could, quickly moving down the sidewalk past the vantage point where he would be able to see me. As I did, the barking abruptly cut off. I glanced over, seeing friend's luminescent eyes hanging in the dark mist like fireflies. I ripped my gaze away and headed to the front door. I knocked hard, over and over, until a tired-looking man with a flat face like an English bulldog appeared through the small window. His dark, beady eyes regarded me with suspicion through the glass panes. His entire head looked freshly shaven. Not a single hair marred his scalp or face. His face looked red, his cheeks flushed, as if he had been drinking heavily. After a long moment, he swung the door open, as if in anger.
"What do you want?"
he asked in a gruff voice that sounded like he had been smoking 5 packs a day since he was 12.
"Who the F are you?"
I gave him my most charming smile, trying to disarm the fat man. But the suspicion and distrust stayed, engraved deeply into every line on his face. "I'm your neighbor, sir," I said respectfully. My stomach did flips, and I felt sweaty and nervous coming to this house. "My name's Spencer, and I'm really sorry to bother you, especially when it's this late."
"It's not late for me," he answered coldly. "I never sleep anymore."
I nodded. "I feel you there," I said. "Neither do I." I wondered at that moment whether his insomnia and my insomnia had the same underlying cause. He stared at me, his face as blank as a mannequin's.
"So what is it, Mr. Neighbor?"
the man asked sarcastically. The white t-shirt he was wearing was covered in strange food stains. All the colors of the rainbow seemed to be there. "It's about your dog," I whispered grimly. The man's ruddy face instantly seemed to go pale. His mouth opened, but only a strangled, incomprehensible garbling came out.
"You better come inside,"
the man said, opening the door wide and stepping aside.
"Spencer, you say? My name's JJ. JJ Falconer."
JJ brought me into his kitchen. The entire house looked run down and dirty, filled with rotting garbage bags strewn about. The furniture had all strange water spots and stains covering them. The smell coming from the house was truly repugnant and foul. "Your dog," I said as JJ poured 2 shots of vodka and some suspiciously dirty-looking shot glasses on the table. The rest of the table was covered in filthy dishes, some with moldy food still clinging to the surfaces.
"Why does he never stop barking?"
JJ pushed a shot glass in my direction, but I shook my head. "I don't drink, sorry." He gave me a bark of laughter at that, his small eyes still watching me intently. And though he laughed, his eyes didn't laugh, and neither did his mouth.
"My dog?"
he asked, his voice cracking as some inner turmoil rippled through him. He took the shot in a quick swallow, hissing for a moment as the burning liquid made its way down. Then he poured another one and took that too.
"My dog? That's not my frickin' dog."
I looked at JJ as if he was insane. Perhaps we both were. I strongly suspected I was after the agonies of the last couple months. "Okay," I answered slowly. "Why does he live behind your house then? Who feeds him? who gives him water and takes him on walks. JJ leaned close to me, his eyes glittering with some frantic and dark hidden under the surface.
Nobody. Absolutely nobody. That dog just appeared there one night,
he said, his fat cheeks flushing a deep red.
He won't leave me alone, no matter what I do. I've had animal control come and take him away 7 times. 7 times! And yet, when I wake up in the morning, that thing is right there where he started, barking. It's not any dog. It's some sort of demon, I think. Some punishment from God for all I've done wrong. It's my chain and shackle and my coffin. Yours too, I'm guessing. Why else would you be here?
My teeth chattered as a panic terror rose in my heart. What do you mean? I asked nervously. What?
You know exactly what I mean, JJ said, leaning so close to me that I could smell the stale booze in his fetid breath. You've heard his voice in your head, haven't you? You've seen him in your dreams. His true form, I mean. Not the mask he wears to fool the blind.
I stuttered, unable to speak for a long moment. JJ just continued watching me, a sadistic glee evident in his eyes. He enjoyed this, I could tell. Yes, I said finally. Yes, I have. His name is Friend.
Friend, JJ repeated, nodding. Indeed, his name is Friend. He's no friend of yours, though. No friend of mine. He's no friend of anybody's, except for maybe the devil.
I tried shooting him last night, I went on, shaking as I sat in a filthy chair in that dim, musty kitchen. JJ laughed at this.
Yes, so did I, a few times, he said. No luck, I'm guessing?
The dog's barking started again at that moment, as if it were listening to our conversation. It rang out, echoing through the still shadows outside. I couldn't see a single person anywhere on the street. It reminded me of my nightmare. A chill like ice water ran down my spine. What if we destroy the body? I whispered, afraid that Friend might hear me. But that was stupid. He must hear everything after all, I thought to myself. He is in my mind, and he's been there for a long time. You know, like they talk about in medieval times, hunting vampires and demons? They used to use decapitation, or they would burn the body until there was nothing but ashes. What if?
Go ahead, JJ said, giving a wave of his hand in the direction of Friend. Go burn his body. I never tried anything like that, but maybe, just maybe, it would work.
You should come too, I answered. This is our burden, both of us. We need to work together. If we don't stop him, we'll both surely die or end up in prison forever.
I think it's past that point, JJ said sullenly, his eyes downcast. I'm guessing that if the cops knew what you've done, you would already end up in prison forever, am I right?
I pulled back as if physically struck. JJ just grinned.
Yeah, I know that Friend surely made you kill. You don't think I've done the same? If we haven't, neither of us would be here. Friend would have slaughtered you like a sheep.
Then that makes it all more important to stop him now, I hissed. JJ gave a long sigh. He rose unsteadily to his feet.
Fine, he said, pulling a pistol out of his waistband. There's gasoline in the garage. Let's frickin' do this.
He gave a faint grin as bloodlust radiated from his eyes. As sickening waves of dread rolled over my body like ripples in a pond, I got up and followed him out of the kitchen. JJ held the red canister of gasoline in one hand and the pistol in the other. I, too, had my gun out. He opened the garage door and we walked out into the night, turning the head into his yard, towards the abomination that wore a dog like a second skin. Friend went silent as we approached. His canine lips split into a wide grin. Only the eyes of the sharp predatory teeth gave any contrast in that black void of a face. JJ didn't hesitate. He raised the pistol and fired. The shot crackled through the air like thunder. Friend's chest exploded in a flower of bright blood. The canine face didn't react, however, except that the teeth started chattering, at first slowly and then faster and faster. The eyes seemed to glow brighter as Friend stood up, rising on his back legs to his full height. Rivulets of crimson continued to stream down his chest as he loomed over us. Filled with incomprehensible terror, JJ and I could only watch as Friend's body began to rip apart. Something black and spidery stabbed its way through the skin and fur of the dog's body, long, skittering legs with many joints that twisted their way to the ground. The eyes stayed the same, ripping their way out of the skull as a spidery visage appeared from the top of the dog's mutilated head. Within seconds, the fur, skin, and muscles of the dog lay strewn on the lawn like pieces of garbage. I saw the monstrous spider form from my nightmare, the true face of Friend. JJ gave a battle cry and ran forward, shooting over and over, emptying the magazine until his pistol clicked empty. Friend gave a roar that sounded like many alien, insectal voices were screaming together. Friend's pincers clicked as his many legs carried him forward. His enormous body seemed to dance as they twisted, bringing the alien face down towards JJ's neck. JJ gave a scream and tried the backpedal, but he was far too slow. With a wet separating of flesh, the pinchers came together, slicing off JJ's head as neatly as a guillotine. The head flew back, landing at my feet. The eyes stared sightlessly up at me, still filled with mortal terror. Backpedaling away from the demon, I turned and ran. Without looking back, I started down the street, away from my house, away from Friend, away from all these never-ending terrors. As I got to the end of the block, I saw police cars zooming down the street. With a squeal of brakes, they stopped in front of my house. They ran out of their cars, lights still flashing, sirens screaming. They had their guns drawn as they kicked down my door and went inside. Apparently, they hadn't realized that the decapitated body of J.J. Faulkner also laid a few feet away, just on the other side of the tall wooden fence.
"You must keep moving,"
Friend hissed in my mind, his voice like a scalpel driving into my brain.
"We are not done yet. The sacrifices must be offered to the spirits of the damned."
With a silent scream welling in my throat, I ran down the dark road and disappeared.